Sue, you mentioned on the break of ex-cons, or in our cases, cons, the ones who are still in there. Learning to love those people, I think, gives us something the people who don't get that opportunity never really have. I think it gives us a jump on love, you know, because if we can love those people, even when we find out what they've done in many cases, and sometimes horrible things, disgusting things, if you will, we know how to love these people. I don't know if we know how, we just do, or, you know, that's another gift, I think, by the way, but I'm sure you'll agree that doing that it gives them something, but it gives us even more, you know. I feel, the more I think about it, and I'm thinking out loud, but when I go into these places, you know, with you or whoever we go in with, I don't think about it, but I think it's the love that we're able to share in there, knowing we got an hour or two or whatever it is, and we're going to go away, and they're going to stay, and we're going to, you know, we're going to leave and hopefully come back and see them again. But there's a power in that love in the room when we're in there that is evident in the smiles on the faces of people who aren't going anywhere, at least not right now. And I don't know, it spells a superpower for me. You want to share a little bit on, as you mentioned, ex-cons, I know you do something that I don't. And that's, I think that's pretty powerful because they're free, you know, and people relapse. I mean, in fact, the life, whether it's a drug addiction or a behavioral thing, people relapse. But we can't put a condition on whether we love them or not, or we take away love, right? So you deal with these ex-cons, and you've dealt with some who've relapsed, I know. What's your take on it?
Well, my take on it, it's been the most wonderful gift for me. I think that's what's really helped me in this journey of, you know, loving each other, where they love me and everyone else who's there just as much as we love them. I mean, it's almost like a love fest when we have our meetings, and we're all the same. There actually is no difference between any of us. Other than the fact maybe some of us started out in a very comfortable beginning in a loving home and a caring home, and we got those nurture needs that we got the nurture needs. Or you didn't start out in that kind of home. You started out in the roar of life, the raw life, the awful life, the, you know, mother is a prostitute and parents are doing drugs all the time, you know. And underneath everything, we are all the same. Because when we peel back the layers, we're all the same, you know. And everyone has a story, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes the stories are, well, they're awful. And you think, no wonder, how could this person have possibly, you know, or you can understand how they got to where they got. They started out in horrendous conditions, really. So how are we any different? We're all, when you peel back the layers of the onion, we are all the same underneath. Yeah. We all have our own story. We're all trying to live in this world, right? And, you know, do the best we can. And circumstances sometimes just drive us to do things.
Yeah.
You know?
And so many accidental things, too, you know?
Yes. I mean,
I don't think anybody ever woke up and said, I'm going to be a child molester.
You know,
I look forward to the cutest little, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not a, it's not even a concept yet. That's how we make it sound outside, you know? And when you look into these people's eyes, there's absolutely no difference. I mean, you can, you see a reflection for one thing, you know?
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, you can see probably who you are better than you can see who they are. And I don't know, that makes the identity the same for me too. And there's no difference really. And so many guys I see, they were drunk and they hit somebody, for instance, and the guy died or whatever. Others were gun things, but you know, maybe one guy had a gun and never used it before in his life, but ends up in this scenario. Now they're going to get caught, and he's fears for his life. He shoots somebody. You know, it's a policeman, so he goes away forever. You know, I mean, it's.
I know.
It's hard to understand, but when you sit in there, especially in the men's jail up there. You know, when you sit with a bunch of these guys and you see the remorse in their faces, you don't have to talk and ask them to say words to make the public know they're living in a rotten, not a physical place so much as themselves, you know. And it's a sad thing, and it doesn't matter what they've done. I mean,
most of them know deep down anyway. They know.
Yeah.
They know. Yeah. And, it's just about getting that deep knowing up, you know, the goodness, because we all have that goodness within inside us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's buried way deep. Goodness, I mean that love, right? Mm-hmm. That love is there.
Yeah.
But it's buried so deep because of the circumstances of life, right?
Yeah.
But and with that love brings knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, what's good and what's not so good, really.
Yeah.
And so deep down, most of them know. They do. They really do.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know.
Like it all I makes said, sense.
They love us just as much as if anything happened to one of us, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
They'd
yeah,
be right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm That's sure why they're all the same.
When people say, are you worried in there? I say, no, I'm more safe in there than I am anywhere. I mean, if we have six or eight guys out, you know, and one guy comes at us, he's a dead man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So really, and where does that happen in a restaurant? You know, they might say, well, he looks tough enough. Why should we help him or whatever? You know, people on the streets dying all the time, people walking over them.
I know.
You know,
yeah.
In jail, there's a whole bunch of guys that'll protect us.
Yeah,
so the reality is, where are you more safe, folks? You know, and not that you want to spend your whole life in there either. It's not nice, but... I don't know, the power of love. And before I forget, our friend Peter, who we've all been praying for over the last number of days, got home yesterday, finally, and which means he, you know, his recoveries have been absolutely miraculous, you know, from when he first went in to have a, you know, serious back fusion operation with a lot of pieces coming out and pulverizing, going back in and waiting to grow new tissue and all that kind of stuff. And another thing Jay's experienced too, actually, in the past.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was a day and a half later, you know, at someone who didn't seem able to ever move again, was up in the hallway taller than he's ever been since I met him, you know. And then the next day he was down and out. And the day after that they were... putting him in ICU and telling his wife that he was a very, very sick man. And, you know, it looked touch and go to 2 days later to back up again. And now, you know, on the 10th day of this whole scenario, back home, sitting there and saying he feels great. You know, so I mean, you know, and all you people out there who prayed for Peter and thought about him, Peter's a good example of love. You know, he... if he doesn't have something funny to say, he doesn't say much. But he's a guy, and I've never seen this before, but in the jail setting in one of the women's institutions, someone heard that, you know, long-haired Peter, and if you know Peter, you know what I'm talking about, long-haired Peter is going to have an operation, and they thought it was sooner than it actually was. And they put a card together because they thought he had gone through this already. This is about 2 months ago. And that card was signed and commented upon and had more loving endearments and so on it than anything I've seen. I mean, they're not even allowed to, you know, do anything like that, let alone. But they all, with their crayons and so on, put this together and asked me if I could take it out to Peter. And of course, I did. And, you know, but with so much love, you know, that guy... gave them that unconditionally. And he speaks of it all the time. He always goes in and, you know, and says, you people are in here and I should be in here. You know, you people shouldn't be in here. And it's not because he's done anything awful, that he would rather that he was sitting there and any one of them would be visiting him rather than the other way around. Like, that's, he's a lover, you know, he really
he
is.
Sure
and
is, yeah.
And it comes about when you see that sort of thing, you know, and you're able to go back and now say, well, here's some miracles God did for this friend of yours, Peter, you know, and that's powerful for us. I mean, and before I forget, we're using a terminology, or at least I'm starting to use it, and, you know, this sharing thing is everything. And I'll say, Peter's good at it. Sue here's great at it, and so is Jay, and I'm trying. But sharing is really an answer to so much. And I think we want to start sharing clubs, kind of thing. You know, and I don't mean it's a club, but it's a kind of a coming together and an intimacy where one can share, feel safe. You know, uncommented upon and so on. And there's not many places like that. And I think the idea of something that sounds like a sharing club might be easier than something that many will put automatically into the realm of addiction, mental illness, and sickness and so on. So anyway, we're working on that. And I think it's going to fly one way or the other. So, Sue, shoot.
I was just going to say... when you were relating that story, mm-hmm. The key to it all is support, isn't it, really?
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
And I think, and that's how you love someone back to being healed, is yeah. you're right there with yeah. the support
yeah.
and the caring.
Yeah.
And that's what does it, right? And the praying and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
no,
right.
You're right. You're right. Absolutely. And that's
you can't expect a person to do it on their own. It's just none of us can do it on our own.
No.
We need the support and love of all our fellow human beings, really. Yeah.
And you know what? Support doesn't have a whole bunch of labels like doctor this, doctor that, and so on.
No.
And it works miracles.
It works miracles.
Many more miracles than do the 18-degree fellow, you know, and so on. But
yeah. You don't even have to talk most of the time. You can just be there, right?
Yeah.
With someone that's suffering,
just
right?
Be.
Just be there and listen.
Be and wait.
And
don't tell them your story.
And don't tell your story.
With that, I'm going to ask Jay to... I was going to ask Jay to thank Sue, but that's not the kind of meeting we're in here. But anyway, thank you, Sue, so much for coming on.
Oh, it was lovely to be back.
You know, and we'll get you on often. It's great having you back. So, Jay, with that. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show and hope you'll share it. Until we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.